So please welcome for the talk Frag 40th anniversary release, the Frag staff.
Hi. Thank you, guys. So, okay, so we have nothing to lose. Yeah. We are not representing any company or any government. Most of them we have upset already anyway. We are here to represent Frag, which is a community-driven magazine. We're doing it for 40 years, so this is our 40th anniversary. It's very special to be here. In fact, I was on this stage 24 years ago with some people in the room, Halva and Gamma and some other people here, and we released the very first Frag hard copy release at a conference in the Netherlands as well. It was held 2001. So for you guys who don't know Frag, it's a magazine running for 40 years. It started mostly with freaking and hacking, and then it has moved more into hacking and cybersecurity and research. And some of the famous articles in there, so Hacker Manifesto was first published in Frag. Also published was Smashing the Stack for Fun and Profit, which has opened remote buffer overflows to the whole wider community. In there was also Fyodor wrote his article about how to do network scanning, and that then became Nmap, a tool that I hope most of you have used already and are still using. Long live Nmap! And also we had a GPS jamming article. I think it was the first published article on how to jam GPS signal. And what I'm doing these conferences for almost 30 years, the one thing I've learned is you don't show up with your laptop or the hacker conference. So we are doing this off paper. You guys learned our lesson. Frag has been running for 40 years, but there have only ever been 5 hard copy releases, including this one. So today, here, we are releasing hard copy release. And this is very special for us, because actually, we're releasing this hard copy at 3 major conferences at the same time. That's why there's DEF CON and also HOPE in New York next week. In addition to this, we're also releasing it at 8 or 9, maybe even 10. I spoke to a guy from Australia. We might be releasing there as well. And smaller conferences all around the globe. In fact, on 5 continents. So for us, this was a lot of work. We have 15,000 hard copies worldwide to be released. Very special, and you don't get this at any other conference. After this, we have a big party, and we have 500 liters of free beer. We also have 1,000 cups with a Hacker Manifesto on there, and you can all take them home. Okay? Now, these things are only possible because 24 years ago, when we met up here for the first time, we didn't know where our life would take us. But it happened that many people who met at conferences like this have done very well in their life. And that these people that I've asked and we have asked that they can donate money to Frag, and they have. And this is why this is possible. So if you're sitting here today and in 24 years someone asked you if you can support the community, I hope you say yes as well. And I think this was humbling to see how the community came back together, how people supported us. Even today, we had people just helping us carrying this 1.4 tons of hard copy around the camp and distributing to the villages and having them here. And afterwards, if you don't get one here, we have more at the Milliway party, which starts at 8:30. So everybody helped, and that was really lovely to see. The design of the hard copy, it's the first time we have a full color design. And it was done by the fine guys of the Page Out magazine. And that's important for us as well to say here, this is not a magazine done by the staff, this is a magazine done by the community. Everybody helped. So if you want to help later, we give you some ideas of what it takes to help FRAG or maybe even become a staff member and support the magazine. And by that, I hand it over to TMZ to tell you about how to write FRAG articles and how to become a staff member.
Yeah. So. A lot of questions that we receive from potential contributors is what kind of articles should they write or how can they write for FRAG? We're always open to new submissions, not only during the cycle of the release. Obviously, any kind of a submission that is sent is going to be considered. But we try to focus on a few things. We try to focus on unique content. Of course, it can be like a rework of some technique or some other thing that already exists, but with some uniqueness to it. So, you know, this also brings like a high quality content, I think, for the viewers. And I think this is important so we don't just keep publishing like quantity. So we want more quality over quantity, let's say. And this is really nice because we get all sorts of submissions. And it also means that we don't really only want, let's say, like technology-related submissions. It can be about any kind of hacking, any kind of topic that relates somehow to the FRAG essence or the community essence. So it's definitely like a thing that we'll have interest on. So we don't really make any kind of like requirements to write about exclusive technology. We also have now, you know, I was not here 25 years ago, but I am now, and you know, apparently like everybody loves Discord nowadays, so we're also wrapping up a community on Discord. For now we keep it closed, but we want more people to engage, and that's where we get like a lot of people from the community, they come. So we have like 3 art covers this year for the releases, and they were all made by the community. You know, they all like publish their ideas there and we guide them through, and then, you know, everybody just gives feedback. There's like 250-300 people there, which I think is pretty cool. I think this is the biggest community they have FRAG ever had, and I think it's trying is helping us to bring the magazine back to a broader audience as well. We had some struggles last year. I remember when we went to DEF CON with some copies. A lot of people thought the FRAG was not a thing anymore, or that was about to, you know, cease to exist. And everybody was pretty impressed about it, I think. And what else? Let me take the thing here. Yeah. I also want to talk a little bit about what it takes to run FRAG from a current perspective. We learned a lot from the previous maintainers as well. We are always like including everybody that wants to participate in our decisions. And I think it's a lot of perfection around the content, which is also like...
I think I'd like to come in there because something that just came to my mind, we haven't planned for this, but it's how the transition happened from the old FRAG stuff to the new stuff, and we didn't even think about that.
Yeah, we didn't put it.
So I just explained that a little bit. It was the old stuff. They contacted me and some of the old staffers, including Mike Schiffman, and they said they can't do it anymore, and they had the feeling that the community doesn't really exist anymore. And most of us who have done FRAG before said, no, this cannot be true. As long as there's curiosity, and as long as, you know, we like to explore something, we can do a magazine. And he wanted to shut it down. He wanted to say, you know, it's our last FRAG, and then let's just shut it down. And we said, no, not going to happen. We find a new editorial staff, and we just know it will happen. And so the new staff has done, this is their second release. They did 71 mm-hmm. and 72. And so I think FRAG will go on forever, because curiosity you can't kill. So we'll be there for a long time.
I mean, this time, we're being very modern and all like trendy and stuff, you know, like we have pipelines, we have like, you know, visual. We're trying to manage it as an actual nice project with like duties and proper organization. I think this is helping us to, in cases like this is like a so much of work for this release across across countries and across conventions, because it's one of those things that it takes to run FRAC is like you have to just jump into subjects that you don't really know or are not comfortable with. Like I can write code, but I have no idea how, you know, thickness of a paper works. So, you know, I have to figure out all those things. I have to talk to printers, sometimes in a country where you don't live. So I have to coordinate a bunch of things. Of course, everybody is helping. There are people like in other continents as well. But at some point, you know, you also have to jump in to cover for somebody and et cetera. So I think like all of this organization thing is something that is really, really hard. And some people like it, some people don't. So we try to find a way that everybody can assist. But I must say this was a very, very challenging endeavor this year for the 40th anniversary. And I'm really happy how it turns out. And I think you'll also see later. As it says here, you see also we're going to release the electronic version very soon.
So we're doing this. We always release the hard copy
first
at a conference first. And because we want people to come to these conferences and get the information first. And then the online release comes like 2 or 3 weeks later.
Yeah.
So that's we like that you get a bit of a 0 day. You can have access to it first.
Yeah, as much as we can release in conferences, we will. And the format like this is nice because it also gives like people who are here before like the access before. So it becomes also like a thing that it people talk about, and I think creates engagement and more interest as well. So it takes a lot of weird logistics to run FRAC, especially for doing a release like this. Now there's something else here for you.
Okay. This next section is very important to me. And it was when many of us were here 24 years ago. Hacking was a big term. Everybody was a hacker. Nobody was a hacker. You certainly couldn't write that you're a hacker on your CV. That was still had a bad name to it. And no company would hire hackers. In fact, they would say proudly, we don't hire hackers. Yeah. Even that the companies was founded by hackers, they would still say we don't hire hackers. But these days this has changed. And we really have three groups. We have the ransomware guys who are not hackers. We have the state actors who are not hackers. And there's like people like you and me who are curious and we are the hackers. Right? Yeah, sure. And so this is much clearer now, and it wasn't in the past. Hacking is like an art, and I mean it in a literal sense. We are curious about something, and we do these things, we explore these things, not for any financial interest, but just because we want to figure it out. And I like to compare to a painter, an artist, not a decorator, but a painter who likes to create art. And he doesn't care if anybody looks at his art. He just likes to do it because it feels great to do it. And for me, that's what hacking is. I don't care if someone looks at it. I just love doing it. I love getting up in the morning and before breakfast, get to my computer. And, you know, the ideas that I had at night, just figure them out and implementing them. So there's a famous saying that says, passion needs no audience. So what I'm saying to you is keep this passion running. And explore these things and just figure it out. Earlier on the camp, at Alligator Camp, we sat around and some of us are very old and some of us are very young. And the question came up, what is the definition of a hacker? What is a hacker? What makes a hacker? And I think we nailed it down for a hacker, somebody who understands a system. Doesn't necessarily have to be a computer system, but a system. And it is then somebody who does something with a system that is not written in any manual. Okay? And so it could be a little hack. It could be someone, if you're making a pancake, and on that day you decide to use some different ingredients that no one has ever used before, and that's not written or known in any manual, then you're hacking. So I say, do a hack every day. Try to explore, try to experiment, and try to figure things out how they work.
Submit your pancake receipts to FRAC.
So yeah, next section, we want to talk about what's special about this release. And I don't know if that was you or me, but
Let's do both.
Okay, let's do it both. So, well, first thing, what's special on this release, it's a specific Y release. In fact, there's a scavenger hunt in the magazine. True. There's a secret token. If you find it, it's part of the Y scavenger hunt. And whoever collects more of these tokens, I think there's a prize or so for the winner. And there's one in the Frag magazine. And also, every hardcover release we have, hard copy release we have at the different conferences, has a different logo and says where the conference where it was released. So it's very unique to this conference. Then also, for the first time, we have a CTF done by Chompy in this magazine. But we were clever about this. There's a QR code, but you guys only get one half of the QR code. The other half, you have to find a friend who went to DEF CON and picked up the hard copy release there.
This is not going to be online later, so it's just the magazine.
So we want to encourage you guys to work together with other people. This is one of the secrets how most hacking communities, how most hacking groups went big, because they worked together and they shared. And so do this, share the stuff. And then also for the first time in there, we have a puzzle and challenge. It's on page 40, not on 41. It looks very similar, but it's page 40.
We promise.
And it's done by Jin. And it's not a CTF. CTF is very technical and a lot of red teaming knowledge involved. The puzzle is more general knowledge. There are some activities in there that you have to do on the live internet. Perhaps you have to send some packets somewhere or log into some system, legally, of course. And you know, things will happen when you do this. You need some historical knowledge as well. So if you're into puzzles and things like that, try to solve that. And the winning prize for this is that we are going to make the hard copy release available for order online, but only if one of you has solved the puzzle.
Yeah.
So the community will benefit from you guys solving the puzzle. So what's special about this release? We have some amazing articles, 16 in total, biggest article amount for any Frag so far. We have some cool article from Orange Sai, who is here as well, about PHP. We have a very hardcore CPU backdoor. We have some API gaming server. This is something that you can try at home. You can play with a gaming server API, which is live on the internet, and you can figure things out. And we also have a nice walkthrough how to exploit ProFTP and how to exploit rsync. And these are also things that you can try at home. As well that we have an article about the data that was dumped from the workstation of a Chinese North Korean threat actor. So somebody dumped his entire workstation and the data is on the internet available for you. It will be released today. And so all his tools that these guys were using to attack other states, they attacked Taiwan, they attacked South Korea, they are still in there. His passwords that he used for his VPS infrastructure, they were still working this morning when I checked.
So be fast, huh?
So he doesn't know yet that he got hacked. And I think we're doing the handout now, so you get a feel for the magazine. It's a full color stuff. We need some volunteers, maybe 5 of you or so. So move up and
please
grab it back there. And then we distribute them and we hand them out. You can pass them around the people, because otherwise everybody is in the corner. So.
Yeah.
And be aware, you might be on camera if you're not happy with that.
Yeah, thanks everybody. This is, you know, by the community, for the community. So give them a hand, please.
Sorry.
So while they're distributing the magazine, and you can see if you can already spot the Y token in there. And if you spot it for the first time, please shout out and we'll see how long it takes to find it.
We also plan to, there is a profile on Gera on this magazine issue, and we're going to be releasing different profiles with like more prominent names for the past 40 years as well. Did you like it?
I could do that all day long.
Yeah.
Sit down again once you got your magazine.
This is amazing.
The guys are not finished. There are still more cartons at the front. Volunteers.
You still got something to say, right?
Yeah, we have a little another section in the queue. It's okay, we like the chaos.
Everyone's happy. Everyone has a copy to share with a friend from DEF CON. Who still needs a copy? Hands up.
There's a few more boxes there.
All right, everyone, if you all have a copy, quiet down again, please. Shh. And thank them.
Okay, so in a minute we are going to have a question and answer, and we like to know from you guys where you like to see FRAC to be going, which direction should we be heading? But we come to that later. Before that, I like to explain a little bit about the party that we're hosting. I already revealed that we have 500 liters of free beer and the free FRAC cup, but as well we are doing a phony awards ceremony. Yeah. So we have some different categories, like the best malware of last year, or the greatest security plunder of last year. And we are nominating people, famous people, who unfortunately not here, some government people as well, for the award. And the winner of the award will be trolled by us to pay for the next hard copy release.
And you have to vote by shouting.
Yes, it's voting by shouting. So whoever votes loudest, shouts loudest wins the award. As well, we have a physical challenge where we like to have three people, and the person who can, for the longest, hold a full box of FRACs above the hat can keep the box. and as well, we so like to thank the Milivay Village, who are hosting the party for us, who organized all of this, smoke machines, laser Truly. Shows, beers. And the amazing Y staff, and as well as Robert, who helped us so much with the printing issues and
thank you, Robert,
getting it all
you
here.
Are.
All right, and I think with this we are at the questions and answers. So if you have some questions and answers, we are here to answer them. You can ask us anything about the staff, about FRAC. You can tell us articles that you like to see in FRAC. One thing is clear to us. Already, and we discussed that last week in the staff, that we like to go a little bit away from just cyber and IT, because there's a lot of hacking happening that is beyond cyber and beyond IT, and we'd like to include that. So if you have an article about that, send it to us. All right, question and answers.
If you have questions, answers, comments, do you take comments as well? Comments?
Yeah, of course.
As well?
Yeah, sure.
Come up to the microphone. You are not on camera, but please step up, thank them, ask them. Pupe, thank you.
Hi. You have often very beautiful ASCII art parts. And from well-known ASCII artists, are they coming from their side, or did you ask them, could you make some fine ASCII chit? It's
both, actually. A lot of people, they come to us in our community server, or just like by email, or they, you know, somebody knows somebody that reach out to us. We also sometimes we feel like we need a bit more, and then we proactively reach out to the community as well. But a lot of them, they just came to us organically, which is awesome, because they're very good artists.
The one on the cup, for example.
Yeah, come on, it's so good, yeah. So, you know, all of these, usually they're organic. They just come to us, which is we're very thankful for. But we do sometimes reach out and ask somebody that we know to do something special for us, for a specific area of the magazine. And this time was a bit different also. We work with the Beiged Out people. You can see that this magazine is not, you know, traditional ASCII style, but we try to incorporate as much as we could as well with some more artistic and modern visuals as well, including the color, of course, which is really, really nice.
Yeah, and we are trying to make this easier to read online as well, so all our future e-zines will have syntax highlighting and markdown, so they don't look like pure ASCII. The pure ASCII is still available if you wanted to, but the default will be nice syntax highlighting.
Makes it easy to read, you know, it's a nicety that I guess we should adopt, I would say. Why not?
Okay, who found the Y token yet? All right, excellent. Don't tell the others. All right, more questions, please. Come on, we are here.
I think they're all busy solving the puzzles.
Yeah, don't ask us any question about the puzzle.
Yeah, don't ask about the puzzle.
Come, don't be shy. So, very nice people up here on stage. They will answer almost any question regarding Frank.
Yeah. Please show up to the Miliways party later, get a sticker as well. And if you're shy now, you can talk to us later as well.
Yeah, join us at the Miliway party. Question, please.
Come up to the microphone, please, if you don't mind. Here, in front, up to the front. Here. Don't run. Accidents happen when people run slowly.
Firstly, thank you very much for running such a great institution for 40 years. Like, I half the hall here is not even 40 years old. So, I would like to ask you something. How do you keep maintaining these very high standards such that Frack is still a legendary journal, basically? It beats any academic journal I've read, I'll tell you that.
Well, yeah. we don't do much. It's the community who sends articles.
It's true.
So they are the experts. We just format it into the right format, and we might help them a little bit rephrasing things. But mostly it's great because the community has great skills and submits us great articles.
I think we're very fortunate to receive a very good amount of high quality submissions. And of course we do some curation, we work with the authors as well on testing code and also editing, you know, clarity editing and etc. So it's more accessible to a broader audience. But I think we are just very fortunate to receive high quality submissions, which is really, really nice.
I think it's worth to mention that about two-thirds of all articles that we get are unfortunately rejects. They're not good enough.
True.
So one thing we focus on is quality over quantity. And we said that it's one of the things, two weeks before the deadline, I think we only had 5 articles.
Yep.
It was not many. And we decided it doesn't matter. It's, as long as it's a high-quality article, we'll still release a magazine. And then, of course, on the last day of the deadline, everybody submitted.
Lots of submission right at the end, yeah. We were very surprised because we were even a bit kind of worried because it was, in our eyes, a very special edition. But fortunately, in the last few weeks, like, got an immense amount of submissions.
Yeah, sometimes these are stressful times that we can share with you because at that point, when the deadline arrives, we would have done already all our fundraising and would have signed contracts with the printers. And so, yeah, it gets a desperate feeling to get the articles in.
True.
But yeah, it always works out in the end.
Yeah. And also, one way is that if we know somebody from a specific field and we know the work of this person, we try to encourage them to write for Frack as well. If we think this person has a very nice ideas and topic to share. And more often than not, this turns out to become like an actual article that we publish.
Yes, it's nice. Often or sometimes we get articles that are not written in the English is just not good enough,
yeah,
or it's very hard to understand. But do not be afraid, submit, because yeah, we invest. If we think it's a good article and we think the content, the idea is there, we spend a lot of time to create these articles and make them sound and understandable very easily. We ask the community for help. We are not experts with every topic, right? So sometimes we rely on the community to help us reviewing an article and creating an article to make it perfect. So perfection is one of the things that Frack is really proud of. We would like to make this article perfect. But if you submit them and they're not perfect, don't worry. We work with you to make them perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. Have a nice day. And here's to another 40 years of Frack.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
First of all, thank you. Just
thank you.
Thank you. And my question is, do you ever receive an article, maybe I will say little too dangerous to be published, like something you read and say...
Oh, yeah. Very easily. I mean, Frack released 4 to 8. There were a lot about bomb building.
Yeah, we
don't do that anymore.
For some obvious reasons, I guess.
Well, they're still online, though, but we don't do that anymore. Yeah.
But there is always the odd questionable email or submission here and there, yes.
So
sometimes it's just strange, sometimes it's a bit...
But it is a valid question. Sometimes we do receive pressures. We receive pressures from sometimes governments, sometimes corporates who wants to, you know, threaten to sue us. But in the end, we don't care much.
Yeah, I mean...
So just to go in. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. If you ask a question, please come close to the microphone. That helps us with audio. Thank you.
I was wondering if you could elaborate a little more about the alternative hacking articles that you would like to see.
Okay, I can give it an example. A while ago, a friend of mine was working on some DNA manipulation or hacking paper. He's not a biologist by any means, I think somebody in his family is or whatever, and he wrote a very interesting abstract article. No idea if scientifically correct or not, but about like implementing a mechanism of a biological computer virus using DNA proteins. So, you know, that's a weird example, but it's, you know, I think it's a good example to give. So any kind of like weird stuff like this.
And it's also that we don't know. Test us.
Yeah.
Send an article, because this is new for us as well. So we like you guys to tell us, send the articles in, and then we work it out if it's good or not. If it's good for Frack and runs in Frack. So anything of hacking, what you talked earlier, anything where you do something that's not written in the manual, that's out of the ordinary, and that's clever and unique and not known, we like to see that. Anything.
Yep. So you're looking for the classic Frack format to be hacked.
Yes.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
Thank you. Good question. Thank you.
Hi. For me, the question is like, if we look at 2025, you're a big brand almost. You're really known in the scene. How would you compare this to, say, like 24 years ago or longer, and how the difference of submission was? How big was the community then compared to now for where your submission comes from?
You know.
So the entire industry was much smaller 24 years ago. IT security or cybersecurity, how it's called now, was in its infancy. And so this has grown together. The community has grown, but the industry has grown as well, and so have the criminals have grown. Back then, I don't remember many criminals. I mean, we were all curious kids. hacking left, right, and center. And but it was not really a crime. No, we never destroyed things. We never defaced things. We never did any kind of things. We never did ransomware. Yep. But these days, unfortunately, criminals have entered the community and they are abusing our tools and our techniques to make money. Yes. So that has changed.
Yeah.
I'm really sorry for this question, but did you start receiving AI-generated articles?
Oh, yeah. I was going to mention this as well.
Well, we do. Before we come to that question, any art that you see in the hard copy was all done by real artists in the community. Not even by Frag staff, okay? This is real art.
So, AI is a very new thing also, but we do receive a lot of submissions that are AI generated, if not fully, at least partially. And AI is a tool we can assist you to, you know, produce some sort of work that is high quality, of course. But there is a difference when the AI is writing for you and doing the work for you. And it's a bit sad. I mean, that some of them have interesting topics. But it's very obvious it was written by AI. Sometimes they even copy and paste the prompt and thing, like it's just there. Yeah. We also get a lot of these in TMP out as well. The first filter nowadays is AI filter. We're just like, yeah, okay, it's AI, so I'm sorry.
More questions. Come on, people. These were very awesome questions so far. Yeah, I love it.
Pretty good stuff.
Smart audience, please.
Could you please zoom
smaller,
in?
Smaller, sorry, closer to the mic.
Oh, sorry. Could you please zoom in into the submission process? Like, how does that look and the editing and how much time typically is like done?
So that's a long talk.
Yeah, it's difficult because it's also like an ongoing evolving process for us. We're learning every year. We are like finding like where we should like do things differently or like, you know, adjust. So the entry point is obviously the submission email. All the information are usually published in the CFP, in the homepage, and etc. So you can follow the instructions. Very simple. Send an email. Put the anti-spam keyword in the subject. That's pretty much it. After this, it goes to a pipeline. We have like a version control now. We're using version control to like move things around. So we do the first triage, and then we check if the article is more like a line noise, if it's like a main line. Some people, they say, I want it to be line noise, etc. So, you know, all those things.
So in fact, on this part, we have a voting system.
Yeah.
And if it's a three thumbs up without a single thumb down, then it's good enough for mainline.
Yeah. Unless the author says that doesn't want it or whatever. Sometimes they would write specifically for line noise. And after this, the author receives a notification that the article is approved. And it's going to be assigned for somebody, either from the community, some volunteer, or the staff member, to help with the editing process. So,
and on that note as well, we have a private Discord channel.
Yes.
Currently, we have 250 people on there.
250.
Obviously, staff is only a handful of people, but there are 250 people from the community on there. And you know, everybody's welcome on this Discord channel, but we are not making public because we don't want to be have it flooded by, you know,
bots
and stuff.
Thing,
but if you know anyone from the community and you want to join us, just ask for the server. He will share it with you and join the Discord channel.
And people, they come in and say, hey, I'm good at this, or I have hardware XY, access to the hardware XYZ. I can help test like this submission for some very niche system or whatever. We see what the article is about, and it's going to be assigned either for like somebody just for general editing. So clarity editing, make sure that the code works usually. So, you know, normal language editing, etc. And after this, when we have a hard copy, we also make a shorter version of the article because some of them are very big. We cannot print all of it, otherwise it's going to be like a huge waste of paper. Not a waste of paper, but you know, it's going to be more than 1.5 tons for sure. So logistics exponentially harder. And author is also notified. And in the whole process, the author is like, it's also in touch with somebody. So I can use Orange as an example, maybe. So we're talking about it back and forth, doing a bunch of revisions, you know. And then, yeah, communication very frequent. And, you know, at some point you agree what's the final version, edit for like any mistakes and et cetera. Author is notified. And then we move this to a pipeline where we have all the other automation that we run to either publish to the website or in case of hard copy, either runs to whatever is generating the actual magazine. So it could be anybody. So in this case, it was paged out people. Yeah, so that's the high-level overview of it.
All right, to give people some time to queue up, I have one more question for you. You mentioned the high standards of to publicate something that you apply to things. What would you say to a young person that has some very interesting content but is now intimidated by the high standards that young people often think can't reach? What would your words be to those?
We had
people?
An example of this a couple months ago when we were in Offensive Con. Had a friend that he wanted to write, but he was like scared. So we talked to him and he did submit, and he's in a magazine. So I don't think that the high standards. You only know if you try, and also your submission in the original draft form does not mean that it needs to be perfect. It can evolve with the editors as well into the level that both parties will think that is the highest standard. So it's an individual assessment, I think. Each topic will have different kind of things, each writing style or the way that you want to present your idea or your thoughts. So it's not, there's no specific answer to this. I think it depends on the case. So the short answer is just submit, and then we take from there, we go from there. And
that's it, you know? Submit. So there are really two things. First, you're much better than you think you are.
Yeah.
Because you are working in a very focused topic.
Exactly.
And that you know, most people don't work in with a concentration and passion that only you have. So you are much better than you realize you are. And second is, not every article has to be a super technical article. In fact, shouldn't be, because we try to publish articles which are more accessible, less specialized, that everybody can try at home and can play around with. So if you have one of those articles submitted, we would love it.
Yep.
Yeah.
The short answer is this. Just go ahead and send us the paper.
Hey, and thanks. I just had a question. So how do you handle a submission that contains infomory regarding a 0 day or contains the full 0 day?
Yeah.
How many submissions contain a 0 day?
How do you handle it? So someone submits the 0 day, like he wants it to be released there first.
Oh, we try it.
Of course. So the
question is, if we get an article that is a 0 day, how we handle that, how we verify that's a 0 day? Was that the question?
I think,
normally
so
we try.
I think the verification part, but also like, should we publish or not, you know?
If we should publish this or not.
Yeah, where do we draw the line of, like, do we publish this content or not?
Are we talking about responsible disclosure? Well, that depends on the author who submits it. If he does not want to do responsible disclosure, we are not going to force him. That's his call. We are just the medium to publish.
We did have submissions where the authors say, hey, I try responsible disclosure. They ignore me for 2 years, so here's it. Do whatever you want with it. So this happened at least like five, 6 times. Yeah. So. They did try responsible disclosure, so we might too, you know?
I think one of the staff members said it very nicely. He said, we like responsible disclosure, but we also like much more transparency.
Yeah, come on. Right? So, but yeah, of course, there are going to be cases. All of those are like, we usually take an actual look at this, of course. Something like this.
We do have time for one or two more questions. Anyone? Come on. Be curious. I think we should have handed out the magazines later because everyone is just.
Yeah.
I see half of the heads down in the magazine, thinking hard.
Oh, well,
it's okay.
If there are no more questions, are there more questions?
Not for me.
Not okay. If there are no more questions, then I hope that you see you all at the party, and we'll be around, and you can ask us more questions there. Reach out to us. Keep hacking.
That was good.
Thank you.